Hello, today is Wednesday, April 10th, and welcome to episode 321 of Fault Lines, the National Security Institute's podcast that gets you quickly up to speed three times a week on the national security and foreign policy debate shaking up America. I'm NSI Senior Fellow Lester Munson. I'm joined today by NSI's Deputy Executive Director, Jessica Jones, and my fellow Senior Fellow, Morgan Vigna. Good morning, everyone. So we're going to talk about the hot issue of the day, which is...
FISA.
Not FISA. We're not going to put you to sleep. Folks, this is going to be a spicy episode. We're talking about House consideration of the supplemental request from the president for national security assistance, $96 billion for Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan. That includes humanitarian aid for a number of crises around the globe. This was passed by the Senate already. The president requested it 6 months ago. The House has done nothing on it. Speaker Johnson wanted to wait until the regular order fiscal year 24 appropriations were done. Those are done. The House took a couple of weeks off. It's considering FISA today or this week. Next week, it turns to the supplemental appropriation. It's interesting for a variety of reasons. For one thing, a congresswoman from Georgia, Marjorie Taylor Greene, has said she will move to vacate the chair if Speaker Johnson brings up aid to Ukraine. She's totally opposed to it. The rationale for her and a lot of other members to oppose aid to Ukraine is that the United States should fix the border problem with Mexico before it does anything in Ukraine, as if the U.S. government can't do two things at once. But that is the rationale. There's a whole number of questions here. If she moves to vacate the chair and she gets a couple of other Republicans to go with her, Mike Johnson's job as speaker could be in jeopardy unless Democrats cut a deal with him to not vote during the speaker process and or vote present. And then he could keep his position despite the lack of support from a handful of Republicans. So there's a lot of stir going on here. This is a hugely important question. The future of the conflict in Ukraine could ride on what Speaker Johnson decides to do in the next few days here and how the vote goes in the House of Representatives. One quick thing for you Hill nerds out there. This bill likely has to come to the House floor under suspension of the rules because the three Freedom Caucus members on the Rules Committee, who amazingly vote with Democrats on everything, will block normal consideration of the supplemental appropriation. So the House is going to need around 290 votes to pass this aid to Ukraine, which is a controversial issue already. We should also note that some Democrats are skeptical of aid to Israel. So the whole package has a lot of problems, and it's going to need a lot of votes to get through. Morgan, you're a Hill vet. I want to go to you. What are your thoughts about this dilemma facing the House of Representatives that could determine the future of Ukraine and is going to be important in the Middle East and to Taiwan also?
So as a former Senate staffer, I will acknowledge this by saying this would only happen in the House. Clearly, this would only happen in the House because what we are seeing, and I do not actually pretend to know the ins and outs of House procedure here, but what I do know is that procedure matters, and we are seeing that play out in the House specifically. I think when Speaker McCarthy took that deal to get the gavel by agreeing to sort of the terms of a motion to vacate, he really set himself up for failure and future speakers. And we are seeing this play out with Speaker Johnson at the moment. I think there are a number of questions here that we just don't have answers to yet. No, first, you know, will Speaker Johnson even bring the supplemental up? He's been sort of sitting on it now for, 50 plus days. And I think there has been an inability to sort of make decisions in a rapid manner here by the speaker. I think there's another question is whether or not Marjorie Taylor Greene actually has the votes. And do Republicans actually want to go through this again? It's an election year. Do they really want to get rid of another speaker so close to November? And then, of course, there's the questions that would Dems go along with Marjorie Taylor Greene's motion to vacate? Again, number of questions here. There's a complete breakdown of regular order in the House. And I will note, though, but specifically on the supplemental, what we are really seeing here is a zero-sum game, ultimately. If Republicans and Congress as a whole is unable to pass a supplemental, that only sends a direct message to our allies and partners in Europe, telling them that we have abdicated leadership in the region, that we are no longer willing to fight on behalf of the Transatlantic Alliance and provide Ukraine with the abilities to protect their territorial sovereignty. But it also sends a message to our adversaries, not only Putin, but also Iran and China, that the United States is just clearly not engaged. We have no other priorities, and we're not willing to push back. That in and of itself will send, a pretty stark message for the future of U.S. global leadership.
Jones, how do you think internationalists in the Republican Party should try to persuade Speaker Johnson to do the right thing here? And in my view, the right thing is let's vote on aid to Ukraine. Let's give them a chance against the Russian machine that is trying to destroy their lives and is obliterating innocent people. I think it's a good thing to give them aid as they fight that off. Should internationalist Republicans say to the Speaker, hey, you're an evangelical. You believe in sacrifices for the greater good. You have a chance to be kind of the Messiah here for the Ukrainian people and American interests in Europe and around the world. Would that be a good approach? Maybe say to him, it's okay if you have to sacrifice your position here. We need to do the right thing.
I mean, so it's funny that we talked about this today because we could have picked this topic any other week, any other day, because it's been sitting for weeks. If you read Politico, if you read Punchbowl every morning, it's what's going to happen with Ukraine aid? Like that is the ongoing story. So whether that is precedent, there seems to always be a new emergency on the Hill. Now we're talking about FISA, which I know less we're not talking about FISA, but that seems to be the priority this week, right? That's a yawn from Les on that. So we don't know behind the scenes what the rest of, you know, what the internationalists are saying. They've perhaps already tried that argument and it hasn't worked because we've been sitting on this for weeks. So I don't actually know what's going to work. It seems like he, you know, obviously Johnson's faced with this dilemma of pushing aid forward, whether that's the Senate bill or whether that's something else. We have no idea what he's thinking, right? There's ideas of whether he's going to break up the support packages, what that's going to look like. We're not sure because he hasn't really said anything about it. It's this big mystery. And it's funny, it's like this mystery we've talked about on the show, what Donald Trump thinks about Ukraine, what Donald Trump thinks about this conflict. There's warring op-eds about whether he supports actually NATO and the order as we see it, or whether he supports Putin. And, you know, it's the same kind of on the House GOP. What is everyone thinking? It's really open-ended at this point. It was funny. I was reading, though, one representative, he's been a GOP representative, has been in office since 2018. He's like, you know, I've never been around when there wasn't a crazy time, right? We had impeachments. We've had January 6th. And I kind of feel like it's like the COVID kids that haven't had school, right? Like that haven't been around other children. It's like, I don't know what normal is. And it's like, I'm sorry, buddy. It hasn't been normal for way longer than 2018. But to Morgan's point, like, do they want it to get crazier? Replacing McCarthy was a mess on the Hill. It was embarrassing. The Republicans looked even more tragic than they have at times. And they want to do that in an election year, only 6 months after the last go. Like that seems like they're already up to what one vote in the House. I can't imagine they're going to keep their majority if that's what they want to do this year.
Morgan, I want you to talk about some of the policy stuff here. A couple of months ago, the Biden administration issued a completely political executive order banning LNG exports from the United States. That benefits Russia. It benefits Iran. It benefits our international adversaries. It's a terrible idea on many levels. Speaker Johnson has floated the idea of let's put in legislation in the supplemental reversing that ban as part of our assistance to Ukraine. And I would say that's a fair policy issue. It would benefit Ukraine. Granted, it's not going to benefit Ukraine tomorrow, but it will benefit Ukraine in the long run. It'll weaken Russia's economic standing in the world, reduce its ability to raise hell with its neighbors. Is that fair game for Speaker Johnson to include in a package next week if the House is in fact moving forward on the supplemental?
You know, Les, I mean, I think that's a really good point here. I think that would make a lot of members in Congress very happy. It would be a good opportunity to find compromise and to placate them. I think there is opportunity here to get very creative on the policy front and really play to the interests of so many members that, quite frankly, are skeptical of Ukraine assistance. I will note, though, that this isn't just about Ukraine, right? The money in the supplemental is also for Israel. There's also a little bit of money for Taiwan here. So I understand we're talking about, you know, Ukraine, but I think it's much larger than that. And I think there is an opportunity for this to be a much broader policy space for Speaker Johnson to play with. But there needs to be some creativity on this front. There is opportunity for it. But again, like, tick tock. This is going to take time here. So he needs to make some decisions.
All right. Lightning round. Yes or no. Will Mike Johnson be speaker at the beginning of June in a month? Will Mike Johnson still be Speaker of the House? Jones, yes or no?
Yes.
Vigna, yes or no?
Yes.
I say yes. All right, that's three yeses. Amazing. Okay, that's a wrap. Thanks so much to Devlin Burney, Claude Jennings, and the NSI staff for their help in producing today's episode. Also, happy birthday to my brother, Max. Join us again on Friday, April 12th, for another episode of Fault Lines, the National Security Institute's podcast that gets you smart fast on the national security and foreign policy debate shaking up America. Fault Lines is now on YouTube, so check out our channel for a video of today's episode. If you like what you heard or saw, please be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.